Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Good morning and welcome to Peace. I didn't welcome someone. I want to do that here this morning right before I start my message. Terry Garvin is here, and we are really happy to see Terry. So be sure to give her a hug and check in with her after service. Well, friends, you know, when I'm thinking about information, I think information can fall into one of two categories. There's information that we know about, and we're really certain about that information that comes to us. And there's information that is unknown, and that can sometimes be very scary. We're not really sure what's coming. What do we know? What are some of the things that we know about and we're certain, 100%? Well, here's a couple things I'm pretty certain about. I'm pretty sure tomorrow morning is going to be Monday. Anyone else? Yeah, you're pretty sure? Yeah? Kids, tomorrow's Monday. There is school tomorrow, so you're going to bank on it. And, you know, tomorrow morning, we know that tomorrow morning the sun is going to come up at, you know, say about 6:10. I'm not sure what it is about right now, but I'd say I've been getting up. It's around 6:10. Maybe it's lighter even earlier than that. But we can bank on it. We know, we also know certain things about what time it is. We know where we live. It's pretty certain. We live in Philomath. We live in Corvallis. We can put it on the longitude lines, the latitude lines. We know where we are. There's comfort in the things that we're very certain about. Aren't you comforted with the things you're just sure of? Then there are those things that we're not so sure about. How do those things make you feel? We don't know about the weather, do we? When I hear about what the weather's going to be in Oregon in two weeks, I'm thinking it's going to be the exact opposite of whatever is said. We're not very sure about our health, even. We're not really sure how things are going to go for our family. When you think about all these things, it's those unknown things that causes us a lot of stress and anxiety. As a pastor, I can share with you as I was thinking about this, there's lots of things that are known and predictable and planned for, and you make plans for those things. There's a whole bunch of things that are unknown and unplanned as a pastor that comes your way. As a parent, too. As a parent, good to have routine and plans. There's a whole bunch of things that come that are unknown. And it's those unknown things that keep you up at night, 2 a.m. What's going to happen if this happens? Or what happens if a test happens and it goes this way? I think that's a really helpful way to look at this person this morning named Thomas, one of the disciples. Thomas had some things that he knew. He was very certain in his life, and when he was certain about things, Thomas was rock solid, as we'll delve into the scriptures, and we'll see that with Thomas. But when Thomas had things that he was a little shaky on and unknown, he had those unknown things, Thomas was kind of up and down and very worried and concerned. And so he's got that moniker. What do we call Thomas? Do you remember? Doubting Thomas. There's a story told about a man who was driving down the highway and was having a really good time, and he came across a sign that said, "Detour, road closed." Big, black, and yellow letters. Now, if the man would have come by 2 months ago, he probably would have saw that detour sign and taken the detour. But you see, things had changed. He got a new sports utility vehicle, and it had high road clearance. And you see, all of a sudden, that sign that said detour became a challenge. I've got to go down that road. And as he went past the sign, he said to himself, "Let's see how this thing works." Speaking of his car. He went down the road about 13 miles on the highway, went against what the sign asked him to do, and he got to a pit that was 40 feet down and about 30 feet across, and he couldn't go any further. This guy just had to know what was behind that sign. Are you kind of like that? You got to know, why is the sign saying take a detour? So he found out, and he headed back on the highway, and as he was coming back, he saw the same sign, except on the back of the sign, there was a different message. Remember, the front of the sign said, "Detour, road closed." The back of the sign said in spray-painted writing, "Welcome back, Doubting Thomas." He had to know what was behind the sign. That's Thomas, the disciple. Thomas, we don't know a lot about this guy, actually. So just a few notes about that. We know that he had a twin. Sometimes he's called Thomas Didymus. He has a twin. We don't know if that twin is a woman or a man. We don't know any information about that. We don't know where this guy grew up, Thomas. He's not mentioned in the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He's mentioned in those gospels, but only in listing of disciples. He's never highlighted as saying special things, is what I'm suggesting here this morning. But in John's gospel, John portrays Thomas as someone who really wants to know things. And when he doesn't know things, and there's the unknown, he gets really scared. So here are some examples. John chapter 11, Jesus says to his disciples, as they're all gathered, he says, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, guys, and I'm going to die there." Thomas pipes in and says, "Well, we're going to go with you too so that we can die with you." You may remember this when this happens. See, Thomas didn't want Jesus to go off on himself. He wanted to be there and be in the action that Jesus, he had to be in the know. Do you know someone that wants to be in the know of everything? That's Thomas. John chapter 14. Jesus gathers with his disciples for one last discussion, and Jesus says these words. They're oftentimes in a funeral service. Jesus says, "I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I go, you may go." Thomas speaks up. What does Thomas say? "Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know where you are going. Tell us where you're going, Jesus." Thomas wants to know. In our text this morning, Thomas has been away as Jesus has first appeared to the disciples. And you see, Thomas is filled with the fear of the unknown. Are the authorities going to come and get me? They got Jesus. That's an unknown. That's a fear. Thomas is thinking about, well, is Jesus' teaching even true? He died. I don't know if it's even true. There's unknown here. There's lots of unknown going on with Thomas as he's presented here in this text, filled with fear and doubt. You know, you think about the things that you know, the things that you don't know. When you have a whole bunch of things that you don't know, it can lead you to a scary place in which you even doubt God's existence, God's very word, God's promise, even God himself. That's Thomas. He doubts Jesus, his promise to raise. But it was also a man by the name of Robert Ingersoll. Does anyone know who Robert Ingersoll was? He was an orator and writer in the 19th century in America, maybe one of the great orators in America in the 19th century. He was known, his title was this, the great agnostic. He oftentimes spoke openly in the 19th century about how Jesus wasn't true and how the scriptures weren't true and that how you really couldn't tell if anything was true. And he would have famous speeches packed with a whole bunch of people, and he'd tell them how what God, that there's so many unknowns you can't believe in God. That was kind of his message in the 19th century. During one of his lectures, he pulled out a pocket watch, and he put it on a table, and he told everyone who was there, his students, everyone gathered there that day, he said, "If God doesn't strike me down with lightning in 5 minutes, this will prove that God does not exist." Now, those who were gathered there that heard Robert Ingersoll do this, it felt tense in the room for about 5 minutes. It is said that people could hear the clock ticking, his pocket watch. 5 minutes went up, and Ingersoll stood up and said, "I just proved that God does not exist. You all should follow what I've said. I wasn't struck with lightning." In the very back row of that auditorium, an elderly lady stood up, and she said this, "Robert, you didn't prove your point. What you proved is that God does not take commands from an atheist." True story. Now, in defense of Robert Ingersoll, I must say, when you're filled with so much that is unknown and you don't see it right in front of you, you can lead to places in which you doubt God's existence. And you say such things and you do such things. And you doubt God's existence. Friends, Jesus knew Thomas. Jesus knew Thomas. Jesus knew that Thomas struggled with not knowing. Jesus knew that that was a problem. And what happens in our text here that's different with Robert Ingersoll? See, Robert Ingersoll challenged God, and God never responded to the request. Thomas challenged God, remember in our text here? Unless I see the mark of the nails, place my finger into the mark of the nails, and place my hand into the side, I will not believe. But there's a difference here with Robert Ingersoll. God took the request. Jesus showed up to Thomas and said these words, put out your finger, place it into the mark into the mark in my hands. Take out your hand, place it into my side, Jesus said. What Jesus was doing in that moment was not saying, getting rid of all the unknowns that was in Thomas' mind in that moment. What Jesus was doing in that moment was not telling Thomas that he wouldn't have a whole bunch of unknowns for the rest of his life. He wasn't doing that. This is what Jesus was doing. Jesus was telling Thomas that there was one thing that he would know with 100% certainty. His resurrection. That he was alive. And there was no doubt about it. And what this would mean for Thomas' life was that he'd have a whole bunch of unknowns from that time forth. But he would have one thing that he could bank on with certainty. Friends, Jesus knows you. He knows you. He knows as you came to church this morning that you have a lot of unknowns. He knows that there's someone here that has a biopsy, that they're waiting for the results. That's an unknown. Jesus knows that there's someone here who has family problems. Now, I'm not picturing anyone as I say these things. Jesus knows that. It's an unknown. Jesus knows for our students that perhaps you got a test that's coming that's very difficult. He knows that. That's an unknown. Jesus, here's another unknown. We don't know if the vicar, is he going to be good or bad? That's an unknown. I don't even know his name. He knows all those things. Is there something that we can hold on to that we can know that calms us and comforts us? When I've traveled overseas to dangerous places a few times, you see the those who have wisdom and have traveled in those places before say that you should have one thing that you could hold on to above all others. Make sure that you have your passport on you. You can lose your money. You can be in a really difficult situation. You could have unknown circumstances around you, but make sure you have your passport on you. If you have that right on you, then you're going to be safe and secure and everything can come back and you can go to the authorities, you can find your way back, that sort of thing. Well, does Christianity offer something that you can tangibly hold on to in the midst of all the unknowns? Yes. Jesus gave you the empty tomb. He wasn't there. He lives. And what that means is it doesn't mean that you're going to have a whole bunch of unknowns in life. Friends, you're going to have a whole bunch of unknowns. But he gives you one thing that you can bank on that's 100% certain, his resurrection, that he lives again. I'm going to argue this morning that Christianity is very scientific when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus. It's not poetic utterance. It's not kind of ethereal talking. It goes very scientific. You notice when Thomas places the hand in, he places his hand into the side of Jesus. That's very physical. Jesus he has lunch with others. This is a very physical act that happens with Jesus in his resurrection. And I think that this happens so that when Thomas, later in life, we know what happens to Thomas, when Thomas goes to a distant place called India and plants the church in India, a lot of unknowns. I don't even know these people, Thomas must have thought. He could always hold on to the one moment that he touched Jesus and knew that he was alive. What confidence that gave Thomas. And as Thomas faced his death, friends, you know how he died? He was speared to death. Didn't hang on a cross. They heard the story about how he touched Jesus' side. They speared Thomas to death. That's how he died. When that happened to Thomas, there was so much unknown, he could hold on to the one thing that he knew. He knew that he could trust that Jesus rose again. What great confidence. Now, friends, when I wore that passport around my neck, I wore, you know, a necklace thing, and it went under my shirt. There were times that I doubted that I was wearing it. There was fear. Did I forget my passport back at the hotel? This sort of thing. And so constantly throughout that trip and successive trips, I'd just check. I'd feel myself like this. And people would say, "Why are you doing that?" And I'd say, "Well, I'm making sure my passport is on me. It's here." Friends, do the same thing as you face the unknowns. Feel the tangible thing that God has given to you, the empty tomb. It's a real thing. It's not just a pep rally thing to say. We say it because it's true. Let's do it again. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
Amen.